This is Out Loud and Proud, a mini show and podcast made possible in part by a grant from the Alliance Foundation. Here's Rick Small.
This is Rick with KXCI's Out Loud and Proud, and I'm here today with Eric. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for joining me. So, Eric, tell me something about you.
Well, I'm originally an Oregonian. I just arrived in Arizona a couple of years ago, and I'm trying to figure out what it means to live here in Arizona.
So you identify as?
A trans man.
So tell me what that is, and tell me something about your life and how your process of personal realization has transpired over the course of time.
Something most people probably know is that nobody really knows exactly what trans means. So everybody who identifies as trans means something different by it. So I'll start out by saying that before I try to explain what everybody means, I'll explain what I mean. I was born female and I transitioned to male when I was in my early 20s. So that's been about 15 years ago now. My coming out process was double, like many trans men, but certainly not all. I came out as a lesbian first when I was about 18 years old and was identified as a butch dyke until I was about 22. And then I decided that what I needed for myself was not to only occupy that sort of masculinity, but to also change my body to be more in line with my own sense of masculinity. So I made that decision at about 22 years old, and I'm 39 now, so it's been a while.
And so you are married and you have a child, correct?
That's correct. I'm married to a woman. We both identify as queer. We have a daughter who is 7 years old. Yep.
That's great. And you are also an anthropologist, is that correct?
That's right. So I ended up in Arizona because I'm part of the Transgender Studies Initiative at the University of Arizona. That initiative brought me to campus along with several other colleagues who do a variety of different kinds of research. But my own work is on the politics and practice of trans medicine and mostly surgery. So for the last decade or so, I've spent time in the offices and operating rooms of surgeons who specialize in treating trans folks. In the state of Arizona, there is one guy who's working in Scottsdale, and he's been there for probably 10 years now or so. But in the United States in general, it's not easy to find a good experienced surgeon.
So you said just a few moments ago that both you and your wife identify as queer. Could you explain that to the listener as far as what your personal relationship is like?
People look at me and almost never read me as a trans man. I'm very masculine appearing, and people look at my wife, who's a very traditionally beautiful woman, and they think of us as being a straight couple. That's not at all representative of the way that we identify ourselves. I don't think of myself as straight in any way, partly because of the history and the communities that I've grown up in as an adult. I feel much more comfortable in queer spaces with queer people than I do with straight people because I feel like they understand my life better. Even though in general people don't have a broad understanding of trans folks and some of the politics that affect our lives, I think there is more of a space in queer community for trans people to be. Our personal dynamic is one that's very committed to queer politics, so we don't just take our passing privilege and occupy the world the way another straight couple might. We try to be committed to social justice issues. We try to be committed to the queer community and aware of the politics and aware of the privilege that we have to disappear when we want to. It's certainly a privilege many trans people don't have to be safe. So I'm a white person and I look like a white guy, and that gives me a lot of safety where a lot of trans people don't have that. So I don't want to forget that and move away from it just because I can.
So one of the questions I was going to ask you is, has there ever been a time in your life when you have felt threatened, or a time in your life when you felt bullied? And you basically answered the question that I was also going to ask, which is, do you feel safe?
I feel safe now. Looking back in my life, the times that I felt threatened were when I was a butch woman, because that is an identity that's visible to people, and it's one that especially men feel that they can take advantage of in this sort of threatening, physical threatening sort of way. Now, I don't. As I said, I'm sort of on the top of the social food chain in the United States. I'm a white guy, and so I am more likely to be brought in conversations that I think are really inappropriate and bullying about other people, and so it's more likely that I have to find ways to intervene in those to resist getting co-opted into this kind of bullying other people than it is that I feel victimized myself. And I live a very out life. The work that I do, the politics I'm involved in, my personal research website, like, it all talks about who I am. The work that I do is facilitated by the fact that I am a trans person, and I can talk to other trans people about their medical experiences in a way that other folks can't, right? I don't ask the question, why are you doing this? Because I understand why people are doing it. So I have other sets of questions, right? People who otherwise feel that they've been marginalized or overstudied by unsympathetic people, that's not my practice at all.
And so what part in your life does music play?
Up until recently, it's just been my own kind of personal, private way of making myself feel better. I was involved in organized music as a kid in high school. During college, I would perform in coffee shops and perform in the subway sometimes when I lived in New York for a while, play guitar. But after I transitioned, it was really difficult because my voice changed. And there was a time when I felt really uncomfortable with learning my new range and learning to sing with musicians whose voices I always felt like I could match, who then I couldn't. And it's a very jarring sense because you identify with musicians that you sing along with in the car, right? You feel like you know something about them and there's some sort of kinship to being able to match tone. And when I wasn't able to do that or I didn't feel confident about that, it was really an alienating experience. Over time, I've become more confident in my voice and learning my range and listening to new musicians who I can match better. And so coming to sing with a chorus has actually been really great for me because I've find myself in a range of other men, some of whom sing far higher than I do and some far lower, and I'm right in the middle. And there's an affirming kind of sense about that I didn't have before standing next to a bunch of other men singing.
Great. Eric, thank you so much for being a participant in Out Loud and Proud.